So we'll have Kevin, McDonald, and Armando. Why soccer is important to the next city park. So the meeting's all yours. We want to thank everybody for coming. That's great support for the soccer park, I believe. I know that's part of what the council wants to do is develop a new park. We're looking. So if you find some property within the city that's really good price, let us know. We're interested. So go ahead, Kevin. It's all yours.
Basically, what we wanted to portray to you, soccer is a major part of Othello, and you know I know there's been talk about a new park needed and all that, and this is kind of an oversight. I'm not sure if you guys all got a handout. If you didn't, we have some extras, or we can get you a copy. I'm just going to go over this, and there's some notes that I've made. So, as it stands now, Othello's either using temporary space, like Kiwanis. We were granted temporary to be able to use it, and or a secondary to other sports. Grid Kids has priority at Tagaris Park. Your school sports, of course, they're going to be first on school grounds. We understand that. Baseball, when baseball starts, we have to work around their schedule. So really, as far as parks here in town or Tagaris Park, you know, we're really limited on numbers on where we can play. As far as soccer and Othello, if we look at it as a standpoint, not so much as numbers, but as use, soccer blows everybody out of the water. Some years, soccer never stops in this town. I've had teams where we've played all the way through December, January, and February, and then, of course, your spring season, all that starts. So, you know, with the youth, around 2 to 250 every spring and fall, and with the adults, and it's getting bigger and bigger with the adults. The bigger the city gets, the more adults we have. It's around 500 right now, just here in this area. You know, we got a lot of people looking for space to play, and you know, with Lions, you know, they try to limit it so that way the field's good on Sundays, so they don't overuse it. So they're trying to play elsewhere and all that. So we're looking at, you know, maintaining the field so we're not overusing them. The other thing that we really don't have here in town is a facility to do our youth soccer tournaments, adult soccer tournaments. Now the big thing is high school tournaments, especially for the girls, because your June and July are your open periods. I, being the high school girls coach, and are taking my high school girls to a couple of the previous 2 years, already looking at doing a couple more. This brings in a lot of people. You know, a lot of families, a lot of money to the businesses, and you know, just really shows what Othello can do. You know, and that's another thing we look at having this park for. Another thing is Quincy, Freda, and Moses Lake all have designated soccer parks only. Now, we bring this up, soccer. We want a soccer park, but we're not saying that it has to be solely for soccer park. We want it so it can be used for soccer, but we can utilize it for other things. You know, and there's ways to do that. Again, Tagaris Park, it was great when it was first there because it gave us another location. The problem is the location. You know, they've got the fields marked down there on the football fields with diesel, or they burned the lines in, so now you have ankle injury problems and stuff like that. It might work for the Grid Kids, but for soccer, it really is a dangerous field to play on. You have the dogs. Been down there several times. You have dogs running through the field, sleeping on the field while games are being played. there is no dog control. And I know the city has dogs running in the town too, but we have a little bit better way of controlling that here in town as opposed to trying to get them off the fields down there. You know, the restrooms and all that are subpar, I feel. I would rather come back uptown and go to the restroom than go down there. It's just not kept well. And the grass itself is starting to deteriorate. I don't feel that it's starting to get where it's dangerous to plant on those upper fields because of the clumps. It's not level grass anymore. Again, what a soccer park can do for Othello, centralized families can all be in one place. They're not all over town. We can bring in tournaments again, bring in money, bring in people, see our town, you know, help our town out, let us stay home for once. You know, I know I go to a lot of tournaments at all different ages, and boy, it's tiring traveling all the time, you know. And so that just gives us a lot of opportunity to do that stuff here at town. What a soccer park looks like. Grass with some water, basically. It doesn't even need to be level. There's fields up in Spokane that, because of their drainage issues, if you look across the width of a field, you can see from the chest up. I mean, that's how much of a hump some of those fields are. So basically, some grass, watered grass, I should say, and you know, the goals, you know, the adult league and the youth leagues can help provide the goals. We use field paint so it doesn't ruin the grass, so we can move the fields around so they don't get the big dirt spots in front of your goals, because that's a horrible thing to look at. We like to make it so it's user-friendly for everybody. You know, so what now? I guess, you know, it's up to the city to look for land, you know, develop the land with the design that fits well for the community, you know, not just for soccer, but for community. And then make sure it's properly managed afterwards. I mean, we just don't want to just let it go and then, you know, people ruin it, you know, because that would be a waste of everybody's time and money, you know. And then one last thing, U.S. Soccer has currently and has been doing it for several years that you can apply for grants to help pay for soccer fields. They even go as far as if you apply for a grant, certain one, that you can actually, if you get accepted, they'll bring in all the equipment, do all the work, install, pay for a full-size field turf, which is a new turf like the Seahawks have, lighted and fenced if the city or the soccer club or whatever's doing it can show that they can maintain it for 10 years and designate it for soccer 10 years. You know, and that's a huge cost that would be out of the city's hands. They wouldn't have to come up with that money if we were able to get that grant. So yeah, there's grants specifically for soccer. I'll throw this out there. If you were to do that down the road, soccer fields are bigger than your football fields, so you can mark over, kind of like your Royal City and your Moses Lake turf fields. They've got soccer and football availability on both. It's just a different colored line. So you have that in the future also. It's just not designated for soccer after that time limit they've set for you to have it as soccer is up. So, you know, I look at it as I like it for soccer, but I want it to be for more than just soccer for the community. And with that, I guess I'm done.
Anybody else?
Well, yes, I just have a little bit of information about the Adult Soccer League. We start in March, and we have 26 teams. And I think those 26 teams, we don't have enough fields to play. We got, last year we just had 20 teams to play because we didn't have enough fields. Sometimes I talk to some people and they tell me to use the schools. That's another problem with the schools. You need to get that liability insurance, and we don't have that sometimes. to tell you is the only that teams that I have around Otelo is the towns is Marawa, Royal City, Quincy, Moses Lake, Warden, and it's some. I've been talking to some people and they want me to make tournaments here in Otelo. They offer me to, or they want to help me with like the trophies. That way I just invite the teams to come and play, but we don't have the play, the fields to play. If they want me to bring people, like Kevin was saying, to bring more money to town, I need a place to play because we don't have a place. And I was talking to Mr. Deaver at the last week of the, last weekend of March. He saw that people was playing by the school, and that field supposed to be just for the adults is 11 on 11, and for the, that field is supposed to be 9 and 9. If it's 11 and 11, you know, you're playing too close, no room to play. But he saw how many people was on that field. We use the RS Park. We make right there four fields. Sometimes we use high water. We couldn't use the park because I think the goals were changed or were together that we couldn't use the park. And that's another thing that we need to talk to the person that is in charge of the baseball field. That way we can work around. And another thing, we use in the junior high, and sometimes when we don't have the park, we need to go like Little Mexico. But like Kevin said, you know, and I don't know, you know, some guys, sometimes they drive inside the grass at the Little Mexico, they're spinning the wheels and these holes there or big things that somebody can get hurt. And I'm telling people that they try to help me in doing these tournaments. First, we need to see, like Kevin was saying, about the land and for the soccer fields. And for right now, like I have 467 players. And every weekend, I'm adding like 15 to 20 people more every weekend. And like Kevin was saying, the league starts from March, at the end of March, all the way to on the middle of October. And the final, we make it at the high school. And the same thing, you know, they try to help me to get the high school because it's not like easy for me just go and ask them if I play there. I think they have like a meeting if I can play or not the final there. That's the only thing I can say about the adult soccer league.
Council have any questions for Kevin or Armando?
How many fields would you like to see?
Well, at least three adult size fields. And if we had another three adult size field area for the youth, because then we could fit in all the youth fields. You have to understand, an adult size field is bigger than your high school football field. Okay? If you were to look at the width of a football field and then the width of the soccer field, our soccer field would be almost in the middle of both sides of the track. Okay? That's why Lions Park in Moses Lake no longer has a track. Because they've gotten rid of it because they went the whole width of their soccer field to accommodate that. So I figured if we had three full-size fields area plus three full-size fields for the little kids to be able to move stuff around, you know, so you're not sitting here. Because every spring and fall when I run the youth down there in Kiwanis, I move the fields around because that way you're not dedicated to one little area, you know. The only problem you have down there now is when your out students come up, and I found that if we didn't put a field down there by the one pine tree in the southeast corner of that big open area, because they like to use it for baselines, if you moved away from that, then they wouldn't put a big old dirt patch down there in the corner. So I got away from playing down there, because, you know, nothing's better than playing on good grass. Nobody likes to play on dirt, nobody likes to play on mounty grass and stuff like that. And so we tried to take it as good as possible, like it was my own, you know. We encourage everybody to clean up after themselves, clean it better than when you came, you know, and that's the whole key and concept from not only youth soccer, but hopefully adult soccer, is to encourage youth sports and then bring youth sports into a fellow.
six full-size field area, and I'm not sure on acreage, not a good acreage type person, but that's kind of what I was looking at.
How many would you like to see, Armando?
For me, well, I have another idea. You know, like right now we go and visit, you know, you play here for, I have 7 teams from Otelo, 6 teams. Those teams, because it's too many games on one Sunday, we need to send some out. And like if the city wanted, you know, bring money in, I wish we can have everybody, you know, like to play one Sunday here, but we need to visit back and forth. And that's too many games for, just for Lions Park. What is 6 teams to play every Sunday, 6 games, the grass is gonna be down there. Another thing, if you guys make the park, I was thinking we can move everybody to come and play here. You know, like make just the league and everybody stay here and we play instead of going out. That way we can, you know, bring more money in and not to go out.
But if I can interject, along with that 6 field, because there's different colored field paint that you can use, you know, his adult league could actually overlap the youth leagues because you just use the different colored lines. So, you know, he could put the 6 fields, if he has 6 full-size fields, and then we can run the youth with a different color and still be able to do both if you needed to. So you have that versatility.
Like right now, like where I'm looking, that they have more bigger fields, adult size is Quincy. Quincy has, I think,
four full-size fields,
adults. And like Kevin was saying, maybe for the youth soccer league, we can go across in the same fields.
Quincy's fields, are those the ones that are behind that school?
Yeah.
The middle school background.
And they have the tennis court when you're coming in.
All that grass on that. That's your four fields,
though? Yeah, 4 fields.
You know, the only thing I can say is, like anything with new things, comes new costs, and new things, all that stuff's going to take a lot of money. So, you know, not only does the city have to dig a little deeper to make it happen, but it's also going to come back to the youth, the adults, digging a little deeper too, in that sense, because it's going to cost more money to maintain stuff like that. You know, and I agree with you, we need a place to play. You're preaching to the choir. I get down almost every weekend to chase my kids around all over the state. So I agree with you 100%, but your numbers, you know, if you're around 450 to 500 and you're around 450 to 500, I mean, obviously that's 900 to 1,000.
Well, that's
that you're trying to house. Well, that's not far from what we're housing also in the baseball thing. So we're trying to accommodate every need, you know, and obviously we can't build a bunch of grass fields and then cut dirt into them. We don't want to do that. So, I mean, we got to find a lot of land. And the problem right now is I don't think we have any. That's the problem. So, I mean, it's not for the want, because we all want. And I agree with you guys 100%. We need facilities. I think Mark said it a million times. We need facilities.
But we are pursuing it. We're looking for what we can out there to find. And so, hey, if you hear of something, boy, call the city and let them know. Ask for Eamon over there. And if you hear of a farmer that maybe wants to work with you, hey, be open for you guys getting out there and rooting around and see what happens. I mean, you never know what you might kick out for us to help us find something to purchase or something. So we do have a fund that we've set aside. I think it has about $300,000 in it or something like that right now. A little more than that. So we are saving for a larger park, something similar to Lions or bigger. That's our goal, hopefully. And so, hey, if you hear anything, let us know. And we're with you guys. You know, I know soccer is a great sport.
And then another interjection. right before I came here, a parent that I've known for quite a while, I guess he's been invited to go for the weekend in September, I believe, to Olympia with Miss Gregoire and submit proposals for money and stuff like that. So when I was telling him about this, he was all excited about looking into that. So, you know, that's another thing that someone going and personally be with the governor and all that and be able to bring back more money, I guess you'd say. So I guess now that I know this, I'll keep pursuing him because his kid has played. He number of years. So, and just the concept of not only just talking, but, you know, being able to bring more people into the community and all that really made him excited. So.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
The city can probably provide the land, you know, but we can't do it all. Now, how do you think Lions Park got built? And how do you think Kiwanis Park got built? Those clubs went out and raised money, got people to come in and do the work, and I was talking to Eamon, and he said, you know, there's only a certain amount of things that you can do. But still, the volunteer, you know, money to do that kind of thing can come from someplace else. And I would like to see that. I have talked to Armando, the soccer group does a real good job. I talked a couple of years ago, right when they first moved up there. They had a soccer game up there, and the next day I went out there to pop cans and stuff laying all over. And so I talked to somebody the next day they were up there, and I don't remember who it was. And I said, you know, it's a little bit dangerous because they come and mow that lawn and they don't pick those pop cans up, so you got stuck, you know, sharp edges. I have not seen pop cans out on there since then. And they pick up their trash, and that's really nice to have that kind of thing happen. But what we need is somebody that's going to step up and say, okay, you know, if you got the land, we'll see what we can do about getting somebody to put in a sprinkler system or somebody to put do, you know, those kind of things. And that's, you know, and, I think the mayor has a question he wants to ask too.
Is there some?
You want to read?
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Karen Hill, and I was planning on coming tonight, but some of these things have really triggered thoughts and feelings in my own mind. We've raised our kids here, we've done sports, and we know how important that can be. Just keeping them busy, keeping them out of trouble, keeping them, you know, tired. And so,
okay.
My question to you would be, if we were able to get a grant, would that be a good start? I mean, would that be something you'd be able to work with?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that would be, for me, that seems like a logical place to start. I know that myself, I'm following my grandchildren now, my son and his wife, and all of these people. It takes a lot of money that we're taking out of our community to follow our children. There are many, many children whose parents cannot afford to do that. And I guess I want to share with you, I spent 17 years as a school nurse, and I saw a lot of these little children who were very gifted as our children, that didn't have the economic resources, and we're all in an economic crisis right now. So, but to me, this is a lot more than talking about money. This is talking about an investment in our community and the children of our community. If they could have an opportunity to be successful, to build their own self-esteem here on our soccer grounds, then I would assume that probably their grades might start rising and they would become better and better citizens. I want all of these kids to have the opportunities that my children had, and I would sacrifice for them as well. I don't have a lot of money, but it was our choice. And I know that there are many, many families who would love for their children to be able to do this, that are not able to economically go to the different communities. So I'm all for, let's bring it here, where we can invest in our community and in these young children who are going to be raised and be wonderful citizens. And I don't think you can put a monetary value on that.
Very well put. That's excellent. Another question for the two of you in particular, I guess, Armando and Kevin. Would you be interested to sit on a park committee?
Yes.
Armando?
Yeah.
You guys would be interested in that?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be calling you when we get ready to start making that rolling. So, you know, that way you get to have an input.
You know, for the kids and for the community, I don't have a problem putting my time in. For the longest time, it was him and I running youth soccer. And, now there was, you know, this last fall and spring, there was a whole board member running it, and they said, how do you do it? Well, you sacrifice your family time, you know. And because I do it for my kids along with the other kids, you know. And it's like she says, I get more joy out of seeing these kids smile and having fun doing something that they love and not getting in trouble, you know. You know, they didn't put it in this week, but the team that I helped coach and he helped coach for the girls, you know, they just, they love doing it. We thought, why put a picture of the individual? We're Othello, we're representing Othello, so they all jumped in together. Unfortunately, they didn't run in the paper, but, you know, so we're out there representing Othello, you know, in Ephrata or wherever else, but, you know, we want to show what Othello can do, you know, here at home, you know, and so anything I can do, and I know if anything he can do to make this happen, we're going to do it.
Good. That's what you want to hear. We're all with you. The whole council is. I know that. So this has been part of our heart. We've been looking for a park for, I think, about a year now. And it's been difficult to find enough ground to do that. So, but thanks again, you guys, for coming. Yeah?
Just one more question. I'm Ryan Teal, Joanne's son. Just, you know, I know it has to be fiscally feasible to do something like this. So just for me, I know if I'm getting involved, we need to know what kind of money we're dealing with. What is Ryan running currently? Does anybody know? How much is this going to cost? Is this something we need to worry about? Or do we need to worry about development and how much that's going to cost? Contractors and...
I would think you'd want to focus on the development part of it.
Okay.
So we're pursuing as hard as we can to find some land, but so far it hasn't come about. But once we do that, our funds are pretty much spent.
Right.
So... you know, then we have to start the other half of it trying to, we like to save, we don't like to charge as much as we have to. So we like to save the money up and do the projects. So if you guys want to get going right now and start fundraising, that would be a great thing, or whatever you want to do, you know, to make
it
work.
We can find grants, we can, a lot of stuff we can do to come up with that kind of money. We just need to know where we need to focus our efforts. I think if we're looking at how much it costs, we have a place to start. Because if we're just saying, hey, need to raise a bunch of money, well, how much money do we need to raise? Really, we need to know that. So,
okay, well, we'll get the park committee organized, I guess. Sounds like this is coming, it's the time to do it, I guess. So we'll get a couple council members on the committee, and we'll ask the two of you to begin with. Maybe there's some others that want to get involved. And we'll get going on this and start finding out what it costs to develop a park like that, and how much ground it'll take, things like that.
And not to put a scare number in, but if you want to pursue what you call as a show field, because that's what we're talking about, that turf.
Turf field, yeah.
That's $1 million. I mean, and that's a realistic view. That's what that field costs.
Well, and we're not
I know,
looking at that.
But there's grants, and that's what I'm saying.
If they're going to give it to us,
yeah.
If we get a prize for that, I know you'll find the land, because that's $1 million you want to come up with.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Everybody in the world would love to see that, one of those fields in this town. I mean, really, because they're beautiful
fields,
and you don't
talk
have to worry about them burnt out, and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You can just play.
Right.
But it's just, so when you start knocking on those grant doors and stuff, understand the figure that we're, the minimum figure that field costs.
Right.
Won't start low.
Because I was crazy enough to look into one, too, and then I saw the price, and it went up.
Well, I'm not sure if you've seen them, but now they're not only doing football, but they're doing baseball, softball. They're just putting the backstops in the corner, so they're utilizing them for many things now. So, you know, so there you go. I mean,
they got that new one right up Preston Falls City, I said, huh?
Well, I know that was originally soccer, but, you know, they're going to that because of the water issues. But, you know, when your city park has four full-size field turf plus eight, you know, and this is just example Redmond, you know, and that's just one of their parks, and you know, they're looking at the usability for everybody, you know, not just soccer. So
that's Marymore, isn't it? Marymore Park.
Yeah. So.
Well, thanks again, you guys, for coming and spending some time with us and educating us. I know everybody here realizes how big soccer is in this community, just like baseball. You know, all the sports, our kids love to play, and so do our adults. And we appreciate that. And even we talk about our parks. You know, they are well used, and that's what we want to see as a council. I mean, almost every weekend, all of the picnic areas are full. All, you know, that's what you want to see as a council. So when you know you're pouring the money into those things, it's being used by its citizens. And I know we all believe if we build a soccer complex, it'll be used, if we had 19 months, it'd be used 19 months. But... you know, I know it'll be well used, and we're excited also to see that you guys would like to get involved even in the way of helping manage it, you know what I mean? Because you can talk to the leagues, hey, we can't trash the place. Hey, you know, can you guys show up tomorrow and help line for us? Can you, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things as citizens, if we get involved, it saves the city a lot of money. Because you don't realize labor gets very expensive over a period of time, so, and we only can draw so much taxes. We don't want to overtax our citizens either, so. But thank you again for coming, and we really appreciate it. And like I said, we'll be calling some of you guys for a park committee, so we're going to get one going. So thanks again, everybody, for coming.
It's got to be a hot button issue. Well, this is the last time you saw this many people in here. And I'm not sure the fire marshal couldn't count heads and say,
thank you.
We're overloaded, right? Hey, thank you much for coming.
Now your meeting's going to go fast.
Well, thanks for coming again, you guys. Kevin and Armando.
Five years behind.
Are you afraid of
time? We're all to blame. The population.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a really nice little park. It was awesome for kids. With a big playground.
Well, I don't know. They need some dialogue with the port. County Port. Tell them all this stuff.
Okay. First quarter report from Adams County Fire District 5. Chief Labakan?
Look at this. It's empty.
Where's your audience?
That was great.
The report's such a moving report. First quarter was relatively quiet. 22 calls, which is right at our average for the first quarter. No fires of any significance of any type. 86 building inspections. Tom's hits that pretty hard at the beginning of the year, and successful with most of his inspections. People are really starting to comply and realize what we're doing and what we're looking for. So we're seeing a difference in violations now. We had five trainings, in-house trainings, and a response time, an average response time of 4 minutes and 33 seconds for the first unit to be on scene. And what that is from the time we're toned out till when we arrive on scene with the first unit. First unit could be in a command vehicle or it could be a quick response with water. It just depends on the type of incident and type of the year it is. The recruit class started in February this year, and we started with 18. And it went to 13 pretty quickly. We finished last week with 13. And a real good group, a mix of people this time. And our roster is up to 48 people now. So we feel comfortable with that. So if you have any questions.
Council? I noticed in here you had response Dodge 8114 has a slip in its transmission. So how's that going, I guess? Everything's still fine?
Hasn't done it this week yet.
Oh, really?
It's something that comes and goes. Well, some of the Dodges have, you know, difficult transmissions. We can't pinpoint what this is. We've serviced it several times, and we're running a new additive now. And it hasn't done it yet this week. So, for the past several days now. But, that's just something that comes and goes.
Any questions from council? I want to thank you guys. You know, I know they do a lot of hard work down there. And when the toner goes off, I know they come running. I was driving back to work at lunch, and I seen a bunch of rigs come by with little green lights flashing in their grill. And, you know, trying to get there as quick as they can. And, you know, it's neat to see that you have the dedication you do from the people under you. And that's really neat. And it's worked really well, the agreement we have between each other. And we do appreciate it, so.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Okay, consideration of use of volunteer equipment in city parks, Amy?
Council has before you a question and some comments from our insurance carrier and also our city attorney relative to use of our city parks and use of volunteers in the parks and use of city equipment by volunteers. And since this is a workshop, I wanted to provide information so that you could have a discussion on where you wanted to go with this, how you wanted to make this happen. There are a couple ways to do it, either with a private organization or with another public agency, and those are outlined in the WCIA report. There are some considerations if you want to do it, if you want a policy established relative to equipment and volunteers. So with that, as staff, we would like to know what kind of policy you'd want, where you want to go with this, and then we'll put that together for you for your next meeting or two so we can get a policy in place. We are upon our summer schedule and tournaments are coming, so we want to know how you want to use our city parks.
My biggest thing was I think we should utilize the people that are willing and capable of helping. Obviously, we're not going to take any dumb, dick, and arrogant and say, oh, yeah, you want to help here, grab the gator. You know, obviously, we're not going to do that. But if there's capable people that are willing to, you know, maybe we can get them to sign a hold harmless, get them a waiver, and they're capable of helping and managing those grounds on the weekend. And they're doing it for the sake of wanting to help, which is a rarity anymore, just to see people come to town, then we need to utilize those people. Well, I know we can come up with the form that we need to get us, keep us in the clear, but it's just a matter of whether we want to utilize that. And that, like I said, obviously we can screen these people any way we want to, we can do all the odds and ends, but free is free. The way I look at it, and if people are willing to help and make things go, then we got to take advantage of that situation when they're willing to offer. Because there will come a day that they don't want to do anything. So, and we've always had good support in that matter.
I just think we're almost bunching too much together to go quote volunteerism to the leap of driving city equipment. As far as raking the fields and lining them and watering them, that's been done by volunteers for at least 30 years that I've been here. I don't have a problem with that. You know, that's the backbone of this community is volunteerism. And, you know, I can go down a list of what volunteers do. Now, jumping on city equipment, the only reason people need to do that is because the city doesn't. So we either get the city to do it, or what they've done in the past is somebody ponies up a four-wheeler and they have a four-wheeler. I shouldn't say this, but the other day I saw an individual had his pickup truck out on the field dragging a chain behind him. So it obviously needs to be done. The city's not providing that service, so there's, to me, where we're stuck. I'm not in favor of putting, quote, volunteers on a city vehicle, whether it's a snowplow or a gator or a lawnmower. It was mentioned in the insurance reports, it just usually turns out bad. So as far as the answer, how do you bridge that gap? I don't know.
Fields and seeing people out there dragging in the field with their pickup, I've seen it too. I can honestly say I haven't done it, but I've seen it. Have I wanted to do it that one time? Probably. But it's not to take away from what the Jay and these guys or what they're doing, parks, you know, public works, because they do their job during the day. Those fields are prepped, they're taken care of, and come 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, whenever they're done, and they leave for the day. Well, guess what? Those fields are eaten get by the time 9 o'clock comes. Because if you count up all the feet that are on those, I mean, it's powder. It's going to look like that. It's going to be that way. And on a Friday afternoon after they've played Little League, by Friday night, that's what they look like. So, you know, thus, there you have the pickup driving the field for Saturday morning's games. You know, and I don't like to see it either there, but, and how do you bridge the gap? I'm not saying let's pick out this, you know, random guy walking down the street. I'm saying the people that have dedicated their time and effort for years and years and years. For instance, Doc. Right. Doc's there every night. You know, Manuel Benavides has ran the men's league for me for, I mean, done all the physical work for the last, since I brought it back here. And the only time it wasn't running here is because I left for 4 years and played elsewhere because we couldn't get the support. Well, now we have all this big youth movement of men from, I mean, not sometimes, 16, 17, 18, all the way to 26 to 30. I mean, these guys are retarded with the game far more than I ever was. I mean, they're out there. They all have a day off. They're out there in the middle of the day. I mean, so I just, we have an 11-team league, and that's without trying to be in this league. That's crazy. Moses Lake has 8. Tri-Cities has 10. So that's the realization. I have people that come drive from Tri-Cities to play in our league because it's more competitive, it's more enjoyable, and they enjoy our facilities. And mind you, that includes the track league. And the track league fields are beautiful. But they just do not enjoy the atmosphere. So they'd much rather play here. So, like I said, how do you bridge the gap? I don't know. I mean, I really don't. Maybe you handpick the people, but we have these two scenarios. We're either going to pay a city employee, which, I mean, most of them, for the most part, don't mind making the extra money. I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. But guess what? 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and they're at the bottom of the totem pole. They don't like it too much anymore. They're not pro tournaments and pro recreation. I mean, I understand that. So,
what's happening now? Is somebody just donating that four-wheeler, a private citizen?
Yeah, most of the time it's one of ours. We'll bring it in.
Yeah.
But see, the problem was I was trying to keep four-wheelers off the grass. I can still bring it in. It's not a big deal. I don't care. I mean, we just got to utilize what we have. I mean, we have a nice piece of machinery that does the job really well and really fast versus something else. So,
yeah, you know, it's a liability factor. The first time somebody backs up with that four-wheeler and runs over somebody that is not a city employee, ouch. And unfortunately, we did it to ourselves as a nation. Yeah. Because we're lawsuit happy.
Yeah, we are.
You know, we really are, unfortunately. We have been supplying a person for the tournaments to help.
Yeah, I
mean, and we have a group coming on the 17th of May that'll be there every weekend. It doesn't matter what's going on.
So, yeah,
they start on the 17th.
I guess it's null and void for now.
It's the call. We have some college kids that come in. Is it two or three? How many do you have, Jay?
Three
coming in. One starts on the 17th, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and then we have some more as they get out of school.
They
come to work for us, and they work. Yeah, how many do you put on the weekend? I don't know what you do.
Two.
Two on the weekend? Or working the whole weekend?
So,
that's their job, is to help facilitate what's going on at the ball time and plus everywhere else in the park. But, you know, maybe part of the issue, we just have got to get together and talk about how does somebody in the baseball league get a hold of them when they need help or something done? Maybe that's something we need to approach. I don't know how it's going.
Do you have a parks phone that these employees carry?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a little much for us having to, or for somebody to have to call it in the afternoon evening. I mean, it's not the fact that, like I said, you guys do a great job. By the time you're off work, those fields look good. But you can't be there 24/7. I understand that. And to call somebody in, that's a waste of money. I agree. I think so.
Well, no, they're already there working. So if come 3 o'clock, the field is getting hard. If you guys break for half an hour, they make the phone call, they come down, pull out the equipment, and drag the fields and turn the water on for a minute.
Like I said, if they're bringing in people, it's not even a big point right now. It's just. Mm-hmm.
But I think we still need to work together to make sure we're getting what needs to be done, because if you guys don't tell Jay, he doesn't know what you're hoping to have happen. You know what I mean? We need some communication.
I think they do, John. I mean, the new people you got coming in, just have Elzar or whoever's down there teach them how to drive a field. That's all. Sometimes they don't know how to drive a field, and you just kind of shake your head and go, oh. So I didn't know we had people coming on. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm nervous myself about letting other people use city equipment, just because of, you know, if we weren't so lawsuit happy as a nation, it'd be different. We could do this stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I know. So, but boy,
people
we'd be just hanging out too much.
To sue anymore. They do it pretty freely. So.
Oh yeah.
A little piece of history. Years ago, we used to hire somebody temporary that would start about two or three, and prep the fields. And that's what they did. They worked from like 3 to 7 and got the fields ready for the league, and did the lines and everything, and were on standby the first hour to make sure everything went okay. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was actually all done by a hired city employee who had access to a gator or four-wheeler and dragged the fields and wet them. And
so, Jay, what is your schedule with the two that work there? I don't know what you do. So,
well, what we've done is work our normal working hours, 7 to 3:30. There's always the opportunities to adjust that down to help out in times Charles is talking about, but we haven't considered that yet.
And I'm not really just talking about myself. I'm just talking about Little League in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, once they get rolling, there's days that I've seen that I actually feel sorry for. Doc does an exceptional job. I'm not going to lie. I mean, for everything that guy does in a day, and then he goes out there and beats himself to death. I mean, I take my hat off to him. And I tell him that every day. I said, Doc, you got a lot of patience because. So, I mean, but it'd be nice if it's feasible and it can work out. Like Mark said, it'd be nice to have somebody there. They worked the schedule to where they were getting off at 7 o'clock. Because that's really when men's league starts, and the fields are going to be done by then anyway. They're getting ready to roll. Mm-hmm.
And I personally think we ought to put more resources into our ballparks, because they're not dragged every day by city employees. They're not watered every day by city employees. And you know, you have what was up there, over 500 kids in that league, and I think they deserve better. And I think we should be responsible for dragging. You almost need to like drag them, water them, and then re-drag them, because the water like packs them down.
Problem with our fields is they are too powdery. Until we go out and spend the money, which I don't think we have, and I don't know for sure, and mix in the right type of.
It's like a cinder or a brick.
Yeah, that crushed brick that we used to have
right.
If we could mix in a good batch all the way through there, it'd make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's.
We haven't looked at that.
Yeah.
84.
And it's expensive, and I know it
yeah.
is. That's why I said I don't know what the resource is. But we can water and drag and water again, but after that first 2 hours, they're going to be powdered. As soon as any sun comes off.
The other day, they watered the field. My son was playing, or my daughter was playing, and they watered the field before the game, and probably 10 minutes into it, it was blowing powder everywhere. It was completely dry, and it just.
Well, there's one theory, because I know a couple years ago, a guy who did, I mean, he like literally set a sprinkler out there, and he says that he was a farmer and experienced this. He says the trick to this is get this dirt wet, so you have water underneath. So when they do just surface water it, you still got the moisture under it. It's just not.
That powder, though, once you get it really, really wet, it's just clay.
Yeah.
It's the
our
thick, slick
well,
mud.
They're worn.
I've had the kids come off the fields with mud.
Yeah.
Did
well,
you walk through
the
fire?
You either get powder or mud, but you're not getting the mixture that you want.
Well, I agree. And when it dries, it's like concrete. That's why I say you need
nice.
To drag it afterwards.
Well, that's, you know, that's a good issue, because every year in September, we'll be asking for what you guys are like to see in the budget.
I mean,
so if that's something
nice.
You want to consider as a council.
The nicest I've seen those fields is when, I think it was a couple years ago, when Phil was down there, and Phil turned him over, and then he rolled him. I think he packed him, and then he drug him. And that was the nicest I've seen those fields in a long time. But that's a lot of work, because the amount of use they're getting right now, 3 weeks, they're back to what they were. I mean, it's just, they're beat up pretty good. And
I wonder too, I've seen in magazines these draggers, that the first thing is teeth and then it drags a chain, so it like plows up the
it's
first
a mm-hmm.
2 inches.
Like tooth harrows.
Would that work out there? Or
no,
is
I think
just
it's
just so everybody knows that there is a lot of rock that is introduced mm-hmm. into that field underneath, and there's a fine line between getting that cultivation and pulling rock up. And to do this right, we would
yeah.
have to excavate the infields out and start over.
I know.
Your infields are actually not that as bad as you think, you know, as far as re-excavating. Yeah, seriously, they're not. There's a machine called the Toro Yard Pro, I think it's called,
mm-hmm.
and that thing's amazing. And if you get a chance, Google it. That thing turns it, and it has the same attachment. I mean, you drop another lever, it drops down, it drags it. I mean, it's amazing. And that thing turns enough of the 2 or 3 inches on it to give it a fresh look every single time.
I go back about 30 years in the baseball thing, because I was on a park board in the early 80s. And I mean like 80, 81, 82 in there. And yeah, it was a different thing then. You know, they put a hose out there and somebody watered the thing down and somebody else came screaming along with a four-wheeler and they drug it and nobody paid any attention, they just got done. But we also had a parks and recreation director, but he worked for the city and the school district at the same time. So he'd schedule all those kind of things, but if the city's gonna do that, we'll have to pay for the whole thing. It's, you know, part of that. And you could go back to when everybody wanted brick dust on those fields. So they would put brick dust on the field. Well, nobody liked that because when you slid on it, it took all your hide off. So then the brick dust had to come off and they had to put something else down.
Too abrasive.
And at that time, a whole lot of that was all done by volunteer people that just showed up. And that park up there, east of that, or up there where the parking lot is now, was full of tents and stuff like that. Guys came in here and 3-day tournaments and the whole shooting match. But it'd be nice to be able to do that again. But I tend to agree with Mark that it's gotten to be so touchy about who does what and who doesn't do what. When your insurance company gets into you, then you start playing liability games. And I don't know. I just don't like to see that happen. But somehow we get to work out something so that those fields get taken care of. And like Mark says, you've got to get some water underneath them too, so that when you water it, you know, and drag it, well, it pulls a little moisture up there, so then you don't have that 2.5 inches of dust on top that you're trying to play in. But, you know, we got to work out something. But I don't know about the volunteer thing.
Thinking that same way too, that maybe we better look at something to add to that soil so it doesn't pack down like an old turn to dust. You know, you necessarily use ground up brick or whatever, because like you say, it's a little abrasive. But if you could use something like certain types of sand and whatnot mixed with that, it'd help keep that loose. But yet you need the material you've got now to kind of hold the moisture, because sand would only last a little while as far as getting it wet and it's gone again. May not necessarily turn to dust, but it would be still be a problem because it'd end up not being smooth and whatnot. But I think that we could probably do some type of a soil mixture there and help quite a bit as far as taking care of that too. And it wouldn't be that expensive.
2 years ago, they added a mixture to their whole infield, and that's where it got that little reddish tint. It wasn't crushed brick. It was they bought it from someplace that's fairly sells. A mixture of some type to baseball fields. And
probably something like a pumice or something that probably mixed with that.
I have no
that
clue, but they've been really happy with it. Every year, for some reason, they kind of drag it back up and it comes right back. It's because if you ever drive by it, you'll notice it's dirt, but it has that little reddish tint to it. And I don't know what it is. I guess I could find out. But I mean, there's lots of ideas on it, I guess. But.
Well, it sounds like to me right now that our biggest issue is to make sure we get good communication going between what the leagues need and what the city can supply to help solve some of the issues, I think. You know, whatever that might be. So maybe, Jay, you want to, who does he need to get a hold of?
Well, the men's league is pretty happy. They have really, I mean, they're just happy they got fields to play with. But as in the long-term sense, is there's still a lot of people that want to play here. They want to come here and play on the weekends. And they're like, okay, when are you having your next tournament? Well, we can't have it till Little League's over so we can pull the mountains off. So, you know, right off the bat, there's two slated for July that people like coming here. I mean, they're just getting in the habit. They enjoy our park. I mean, I can't say that enough. I mean, people, they'll email me, even when I'm not in town, and there's a tournament, and they'll say, hey, you know, the park was just last, and you love the facilities. You know, you sit out there and barbecue, watch games when we're not playing. And, I mean, it's crazy. One day I came home and the tournament was over at 4, and I got home at 7:30 at night, and they were still at their barbecue. And there was like 50 of them. And I was like, holy cow. And so, I mean, that warm weather's coming, and we got to take advantage of it. And you only get so many opportunities to keep the people coming back. Mm-hmm. Because they kind of wear out locations. And so now all of a sudden, it's convenient, it's easy. The people from Moses Lake realize, hey, it's only at Othello. I don't have to go to all the Tri-Cities. The people from Tri-Cities are going, hey, I don't have to go all the way to Wenatchee or Moses Lake. I can just go to Othello. So now all of them have this great idea. Well, yeah, they're continuously getting into the 20-25 team range without even trying. And do I agree with Dan? Yeah, eventually you will have to hire a park and rec director. And that's the goal. That is the ultimate goal for the city. Because when you come to that point where you're hiring a park and rec director, well, guess what? The city's going to generate a lot of revenue from the soccer tournaments, from the Little League, from the youth tournaments in baseball or whatever. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way that any town does it. I mean, Moses Lake doesn't keep Susan because they like her. They keep her because she's productive. And Susan's been there, I think, 20 years.
At least have horse in the
Yeah, I mean,
these guys out there pitching.
It doesn't. I've been to a softball tournament where they had a volleyball tournament at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, craziest thing I've ever seen. But it was cool.
Well, I guess Jay, why don't you go ahead and get a hold of whoever you need to get a hold of in the youth league, and see if there's anything else they need help with, and we can talk about it and see how maybe we can help them out.
I'm sure Doc never complains, but I didn't mind. That guy can help. He looked beat by the time 6:30, 7 o'clock.
You know, because maybe they can schedule games with a half-hour break once in a while, and we can get in there and drag the field and put some water on it or something, you know what I mean? Every third game or something, or I don't know. But without talking to them and see how we might be able to help a little bit.
Well, that's something I can do is talk with Ken.
Yeah.
Just see what it would take, at what time in the last drag beat, whatever it is, and see what we can work into the schedule.
Yeah, because we are going to have a couple young men there, or women, or whatever, but
like
I can scoot in there and do something.
Take nothing away from what you guys, you know, do during the day, because they are prepped, they're ready to go, but they don't take much to beat them to death, so.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you. RV and tent camping in parks. Eamon?
Well, again, I'll introduce this for the council's consideration. This kind of goes hand in hand with our last discussion, relative to tournaments and perhaps festivals and other events that are in our park. The council created a committee, of Councilmember Johnson and Garcia, city public works staff, and the superintendent of schools, George Juarez, met. You have a recap of that discussion on the back of your agenda memo, and just briefly to go through it, the question really is, should tent camping be allowed in Lions Park or City's Park? The discussion centered on these areas. If it is allowed, there should be a designated area identified by the Public Works Department. There should be some conditions relative to the size of stakes they use in putting the tents, and this was due to the irrigation lines being under the surface. No open fires, of course. School district has offered Hiawatha School across the street for overflow camping. A fee was discussed, whether it be an individual fee or a fee that the tournament director would impose, and then the city would impose a flat rate fee to a tournament. Use of the city restrooms, of course, and they're open on the weekend because we have a city staff person there now. And the league controls the tent camping, so the city wouldn't be in the business of chaperoning or setting sites for certain campers. The league would take care of that. We just say, here's your area, here's your fee, and the tournament would take care of the rest of it. The other consideration, aside from tent camping, was RV camping. And the committee discussed utilization of the north parking lot at Lions Park. Of course, there's no hookups there, and that would not be provided. In addition, the committee talked about some noise and light controls that might be needed. And then if we allow one event, should we allow all events to use the same policy, whatever policy you decide to adopt, such as a Sandhill Crane, Fiesta Amistad, or other events that are held in the park. So those are for your consideration. The committee members are here to discuss it with council. The staff and I are here for any input. So should the city develop a tent camping policy for the city and city parks?
I was also on that committee.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
And
Miller, I'm sorry.
That fee for $20 would be per team, and that would help pay for porta potties up in that area just for that event and to help with cleanup. That was one thing that we talked about there also.
So the $20 wouldn't be for a campsite, it would be.
It would be
per team,
and that way it would be paid up front because there's no way you're going to, without having permanent sites set up there, to be able to charge, you know, somebody for that. So we just talked about having $20 per team, and if you had 25 teams, you know, that's more than plenty to cover the porta potties and clean up.
The extra little costs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's a big risk. This is a big risk. Even proposing this, because I guess the number one goal we're trying to do here is keep these people in town. We want them to stay here and spend money. Because any other way, they're either not going to come, or they're heading out of town, and we're not seeing their dollars turning in our community. I mean, is it a lot of trust to put into the first group if it happens to fly? Yeah, it is. I mean, and don't think I'm not going to be the first advocate saying, hey, you realize if you screw this up, you screw it up for everybody for a long, long time. And it's a big risk. I mean, I know that. But you all know if you don't take chances in life, you don't get anywhere.
As a neighbor in that area, I would request that we give this a lot of consideration, because I've seen some things, and I basically kept quiet because I believe in the tournaments, I believe in the activities for young men and women. I realize the revenue it brings in. On the last tournament, I mean, we're basically, this is stepping it up a notch. I mean, having people camp out, I mean, no disrespect, but these softball guys aren't choir boys. They're rough and tough, and there were, last tournament, there was a RV parked on Hamlet toward Hiawatha, and they apparently they either got permission or stayed there overnight. And I was going over to the park about 11 o'clock at night to turn the lights out, and I could hear them. They were very loud. They were using profanity, and I did not confirm this, but my wife heard from our neighbor that they were playing softball at midnight. Obviously, there were no lights on, but I don't know, you know. They come over to Hiawatha to warm up, and I was going to bring them tonight, but I got two softballs I found in my yard because they hit them across the street, and how they get through all the parked cars and the people walking there. But they come into my yard 2 years ago. I was actually working in my garage, and one rolled up my driveway and into my garage. So that's a very dangerous situation. I'm not sure what to do about it because it's on school property. And I can't, you can't ever catch, I would never be able to catch anybody if they broke one of my windows, because that happens, they're putting bats away and walking away, and there's 15 gentlemen there, and there's nobody fessing up that they hit the ball into my window. So that creates a bad situation. So the other, with no plug-ins, you know, if generators are running all night, this is more toward my neighbors up toward that north parking lot. I assume that's up by the skating rink thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're not real exuberant about this in my neighborhood, those are some of the reasons why.
First of all, if I hit a ball into your yard and broke it, I would claim that thing. That's,
you would.
That's an incredible
you would.
Shot.
There's a lot that won't.
Yeah, I would take all the full credit for that.
It's not from the ball field. They come over to Hiawatha. The playground of Hiawatha and hit them. They're practicing.
I do understand what you're saying, Mark, and if I lived two blocks over, I think I'd be maybe saying the same thing. I do know the area that's proposed, and correct me if I'm wrong, because like Dan's been here a long, long time. Those people were here when there was camping before. That group that's right there. They've seen it all. I mean, Dr. Betts was one of those guys playing. Out there, so they understand. I mean, them being full-grown adults, yes, they are. We're all full-grown adults. It's the same theory. If we go out and get in our car and we drive 60 miles an hour down the road, well, guess what? We're going to get pulled over, and we're most likely going to get a ticket, no matter who we are and what our name is. It's just an act of responsibility on our part. Same thing goes for these people. It's accountability. If we lay down the laws in the front, you know, the forefront of what the guidelines are, and they hang themselves, then you know what? Shame on us for letting them do it. And so be it. But if we don't try, we'll never know. We'll never know. We really won't. I mean, I gotta believe people can be accountable. I mean,
especially when everyone's wanting to.
And like I said, do I run tournaments for profit for myself? No. Never have made a dollar on one of these tournaments. In fact, I spent all the money and probably more money out of my pocket to make sure these things fly, because I like seeing these people come to town. But the ultimate goal is to keep continually building this to where it's not my headache anymore, to where the city is profitable on this deal every single time, where it becomes second nature and people have come back here. This new park thing, it's the same concept. Well, as soon as we rebuild it, we still have to put them somewhere. Mm-hmm. And for us to build something later on and not put some type of facility in there to camp and to plug in, then we're not doing our job. But I mean, and mind you, I've said this a million times, if I had the $1.5 million, I'd have built this thing myself, because it will generate that type of revenue. It will. I mean, I'm telling you, day in and day out. And he referred to Barrymore Park, and he knew back in the day when it was nothing. And now this thing is a mega monster. I mean, and they just kept adding and adding and adding. I mean, Barrymore Park has 16 baseball fields in it now, and 12 soccer fields. That thing's massive.
The only difference they got a lot to draw from where we don't have, but like what you're saying is that we can draw a big crowd here, and we're centrally located, really.
On a bad weekend, Moses Lake draws 32 baseball games. And that's at Lozier Fields. Three-plex and two hardball fields.
I guess the question for us right now is, do we want to continue moving forward with this
you know, adapting some policies, continue this committee going, and fine-tune this down so we can bring something before the council to really, you know, decide how we want to do this. Is that what the council's feeling?
If you have a policy, then you can enforce it.
Correct.
You know, I don't think there's any ordinance on the city books that says you have to turn your generator off at 10 o'clock at night if you're parked on the street. You're not supposed to be parked there anyway. But still, you know, if you know, but it also brings up a supervision problem for the police department or whoever it happens to be to see to it that happens. But so.
But it's a heck of a lot easier.
But if you have a policy, you know, you just walk up and write the ticket, and here it is.
Than it is to go up and down the street and see who's.
But I think we need to pursue it because.
What do you think?
People come to town, there's no place to set up a tent. You come in here to play baseball, no place to set up a tent or whatever.
Plenty of ordinances to deal with the noise and the yelling and playing baseball at midnight if they're disturbing people. The only thing that I don't have a problem with the tents in the park. I've been to a lot of tournaments, soccer and otherwise, that have tents and they don't usually present too much of a problem. The only thing I would say is if you allocate that north parking lot to motorhomes and you fill that up, that's a gazebo for family picnics, and you charge for that, and they're paying for the privilege of using that gazebo, so there may be some interference there, so you may have to consider just allocating some to RVs and some for open parking for people that want to use that, because the only other parking that's up there is over by the pool, and that should be dedicated to the pool parks. But as far as the tents, I don't have a problem with that. And if we can do that, somebody leaves their generator on after 10 o'clock, that's against the noise ordinance. If they're arguing in their motor home, as long as we have a complainant that's identifiable and a complaint, we can deal with that. First time's an $80 ticket. So.
And I'm not saying we have to start big. I'm saying we can start small. Take the baby steps in it. And we're in control. We can lay down the rules. We make the rules. I mean, we set the guidelines, and if they don't follow it, then hey, I'm all for giving $80 tickets. It's accountability. We're grown adults, and we have to treat each other like that and hold each other accountable in that sense.
So I'm seeing tonight a consensus to move forward with this, I'm taking?
Yes.
Pursue it.
Okay. So where do we go from here, Eamon? What do you want to do?
As you indicated, Mayor, we'll constitute the committee again and develop policies. Bring it back to the council for consideration. But that's the key, is a policy.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it's a start. It doesn't have to be this humongous, the whole parking lot and 3 acres. I mean, it's just the need for the people that actually need it.
Okay, well, that's what we'll do. Okay, discussion of ACDC accomplishments. Eamon?
Councilmember Spohr at the last meeting asked about the viability of, it's my first time using this, so give me a second. There we go. I was just trying to get it up high enough for you to see. Asked about the viability of ACDC relative to a newspaper article that was, as Councilmember Johnson pointed out, was basically inaccurate. ACDC is continuing. They're open for business. We are fully staffed. We, for the first time ever, have a 21-member board. We've been hovering around 14 to 16 for 3 years, and now we have a full board of 21 members. This is the State of Washington Economic Development map, and as you know, Adams County is right there. See how slick this works, Mark? We can write on this. Adams County. So just, you can see the legend at the bottom if I can get this right, and the indicators in Adams County, and I'll just read them to you briefly here. The $867,000 is the private investment that's been leveraged in Adams County. That means private industry across the county has put that much money in to leverage against state monies to help with or develop economic development in Adams County.
The second number, the 19, is the number of jobs created in Adams County since June of last year. This is a June to June calendar. The other indication is 7, and if I remember right, that's the small business startups that have taken place over the past 11 months in Adams County. And the last indicator is 0, which is the, I'm sorry, that's the number of startups. That's the 0. The other one was companies recruited. I'm sorry, I got those backwards. So that's the activity in Adams County over the past 11 months. The goals established by the state that has a contract with goals in it for Adams County basically surround those items and one more, which is number of visits that ACDC, and ACDC is the Adams County Development Council. ADO is indicated on the map. ADO stands for the Associate Development Organization. It's just a state acronym. The state and ACDC have a contract that indicates we must, as ACDC, make so many visits to so many businesses each week, each month, and each quarter. And we have been hitting those goals. Sometimes it's been by telephone, especially during the winter months, but there were a lot of visits. Last summer and fall, the visits were primarily here in Othello. Since that point, it's been primarily Ritzville. But as the winter months wane and we get into warmer weather, the visits will be back to Othello. So then you look on the bottom margin on the left-hand side, and it talks about Local Associate Development Organization, ADO, performance. And that's the color of, as indicated on the map, and you can see Adams County, along with about half the other states, is yellow. Yellow means that the annual contract goals have been completed between a 50 and a 79% rate. So we're in that range. I tried to get from the state today an exact number for you, but I couldn't. Not that they don't have it, it's just that I didn't get a call back. So that's why I don't have that number. But we are on par, we are average across the state relative to completing our contract goals with ACDC. And we have 1 month left to complete that. And the board meets next week, and you're invited, as the mayor says every month, you're invited to the ACDC meeting. This month will be in Ritzville. So that's the goals of ACDC. That's where we stand, what we've accomplished, what we have left to do for the year.
Questions?
Well, with all respect to the paper, I mean, this was a concern, obviously, of the commissioners because they were doing alternatives, and I'm not sure if there's a disconnect why they're putting their economic developer, their salaried guy, in charge of using half his time to be in charge of ACDC. I mean, is that ACDC ruled by the commissioners?
No, that was a misleading part of the article. That is not true at all. The commissioners, actually, if we go back to 3 years, the county commissioners basically started ACDC as a countywide organization. We did that. We participated in a countywide study. The study had a pull-out economic development piece for each city and ADO and port in the county. The county basically commissioned that study. When that was completed, ACDC was born. The county commissioners backed out of it, except they have a vote, like all cities and ADOs and a port. Everybody has one vote. So the county commissioners know they don't control it. They were, however, I called them after the article came out, and they concurred that the article was a little bit jaundiced. It did not report accurately what happened at their meeting. They were very concerned that ACDC not fall through the cracks, that it continue and its viability was strong. So what they wanted to do, and what the facts of the matter are, that they have offered Roger Krug, their economic advisor is his title. They have offered him to coordinate with the state to ensure we get our reports in, that ACDC gets reports in on time.
That's the sole function. The office is manned by an ACDC staffer right now. The board makes its own decision of which the county is a part, but they only have one vote. So it's a standalone agency of which the city of Othello pays 0.50 cents per capita, which is about $3,000, just over $3,000 for Othello, as every other city does, and the port does. So that's where the article is really misleading, is the commissioners and Roger Krug are not taking over ACDC.
It was a very generous offer that the county gave us. Basically, they're loaning Roger to us for help, because our past director did all the paperwork and the filing with the state, and now we haven't filled that position yet, and it could take up to 90 days to fill that position. And we're currently looking at whether we want to put a full-time person there or a half-time person. Just like other entities in the county and the city of state, we've had some budget cutbacks with our contract with the state too. But every county in the state has had a cutback too. So we're looking at our budget too, because we want this group to be very strong. We want a good, strong budget. We want to have this group last a long time, be very viable in this community. So it's a couple things. And like I said, the commissioners had offered to loan Roger to help do these reports for us. And it was a great, generous offer from them.
ACDC receives about $47,000 a year from the state because of the contract between ACDC and the state and meeting the contract requirements.
Does ACDC have their own brochures they're publishing to hand out to potential investors in our county?
Yes, and we paid, I want to say $18,000, Ken, but am I right on that? Do you remember? We got a whole branding promotion for $18,000, included brochures, a logo, a website, and some other things. But yes, we do.
So ACDC has a website?
Yes.
Because I went to an ACDC luncheon a couple years ago, and they had a nice brochure they handed out, but it was almost the first year, and that's when they got that big lump sum that the other development council left behind.
Right.
And if you follow through on the budget, it didn't look like it was a sustaining organization. After they spent that big lump sum, then it was looked like they were on the edge. Is that true, or is are we economically viable with this organization?
You're true 90%. That lump sum from the old EDC partnerships went to ACDC, and the council took an action on that. And that's what we used initially. And we paid these surveys and part of our branding and logo PR campaign with that money. The other question you asked, the 10%, is are we sustainable? That's why Ken mentioned what he did. In fact, Ken's been the bird dog on the budget for ACDC, is that at the clip we were going with the salary and with the expenses associated with a full-time director, we looked at a target at about 24 months of being solvent. And after that, we had to have other things kick in. We started with an annual golf tournament last year, which will be in August again this year. So we have to do some things to continue to be viable, and one of those things is looking at full-time, part-time director.
Is there, one of my concerns with that lump sum going to this organization was overlap between the port district, the county guy, the Chamber of Commerce, all these people pushing for growth and development in our county. Are we, is that happening, or are we partnering with people, or how's that going?
The overlap, say it's three concentric circles that overlap a little bit on each one. Each entity that you identify does their own thing, but they also coordinate through ACDC. The biggest advantage of ACDC is getting the feedback down from the state, and we get probably three a month that says, we have a company that makes widgets. They're looking for a 50,000 square foot facility with this much power, access to rail and interstate.
Anybody that has that, let us know, and we'll fly it by this XYZ company, because they never tell you the name of the company. And we'll see if they want to come visit. We got to third base with Jurek, a solar panel company that is looking at a site by Bruce, actually. It went all the way to the point of making a contract with Avista for the power they were going to generate. And they were going to buy 100 acres. It was a large amount anyway. A huge solar panel farm. And we got to third base with that because we were notified by the state. We coordinated with the state. And the state will only coordinate with an ADO. They won't contact the city. They won't contact the port directly. Only an ADO. I can't tell you how I fought with the state with the old EDC because we weren't getting any information. And I was trying to get it for the city. The state will not release that information. Only to the ADO. So that's why we became a member.
I guess I just still want to say it again, as I encourage you guys, especially when it's in Othello, because the port's usually at the meetings. Mike will be there usually to see him, and a lot of the other people, and we have a good representation from Othello in that. Different people actually in offices and stuff like that on the board, and we have a very good representation in there of the community and our businesses involved. So it's pretty neat. I've been there like 3 times now, and it's always been very educational. So if you get a chance, come. Be well worth it. It's a lot easier when it's here. I think it's usually like 6 o'clock or 6:30 or something. It starts and
six.
Yeah, and it's easy to go to. So
I guess I'm a little skittish after the Chamber of Commerce, where they all of a sudden show up and say they don't have any money, and I'm hoping that other organizations don't follow the same path.
We hope so too.
I think we've got a wonderful on our ACDC council. We've got a wide variety of different members throughout the community. Past council member Leonard Lyon sits on it as our treasurer. He's doing a wonderful job. And I see us going a long time in the future. That's what we're looking for.
If you could, I would like to, if you some of those brochures or information just throw them in my box. I'd like to just take a look at what's available.
And I think Heyman's been trying to put the minutes of our meetings and budget reports and stuff too in our packets.
You should have been getting minutes for several months now from BCDC. And there'll probably be a budget request report in September. When we first started, we promised the council an annual report. That's scheduled for September this year.
Okay. Thank you. Committee reports. Council members, any committees? We heard from several tonight. Ken?
A couple quick ones. Police chief probably should report on this one, but I'll just report that the negotiations have started with the police department and the Teamsters. We just had our preliminary meeting. We haven't really set down any rules. We haven't really discussed too much. We've kind of got both sides talking, so they didn't walk out of the meeting. So other than that, I'd say that we're in negotiations, I'll put it that way, as far as the Teamsters and the police department's concerned. Is that good enough, Chief?
Any other committee reports? Mark?
I don't know, we kind of like, I'm on the pool committee, but we kind of segue into the park committee. And I would just like for us to kind of step up our game in the parks. The basketball nets on our new basketball courts, a couple of them are in terrible shape. There's still water on the south end of the new basketball court that's puddled, and if it not makes it unplayable, it makes it very unsafe. The nets, the foul ball nets at the ball field, are a lot of them are undone, and there's big gaping holes where a foul ball could get out. And I just think it would be in our best interest, the way it looks aesthetically and safety-wise, if we just kind of stepped up, if we need to do formal inspections or something in our parks to.
I'm glad you brought that up. We've been
invited our insurance authority to come and do a park survey and equipment safety survey on all our park equipment, and that's scheduled
next week.
It's scheduled in the near future. I just talked to them last Thursday at another meeting, and they said they were coming to help us identify things like that.
Well, we got a letter that's saying, you know, if we see something to inform the mayor and I'll probably be doing that more, because I just think we got these nice facilities. We pay several $1,000s for a basketball court. At least we can do is keep some decent nits on them. Mm-hmm. And they're not cut or vandalized or anything. They're just wore out. People are out there all the time.
Are they cloth nets?
I heard legally wise we can't have metal ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
but. Any other committee reports? Okay, then we heard tonight about a park committee. We have Kevin and Armando on that. How do we want to handle that? Do we want to have the pool committee move into that? Or do some people want to start a whole new one and go that direction? What would you guys like to do?
I'd volunteer again.
Mark Snyder? Gina? And Charles, did I see your hand up? Okay. That's three then. So we can do on that one. Okay, I guess we'll let you know on that.
Mark, you don't want to do it?
Well, there's a, if four, it's a quorum, so I'll give you guys my input.
There you go.
I would have much rather had you there.
We went into quorum issues with four of us, so. Yeah.
Okay, unfinished business. Do we have any of that?
How's our
the two soccer guys and Jay and I?
And you probably should see if Doc wants to come out.
See what?
Ken
Dawkins.
Oh, Ken Dawkins. Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Tomorrow is the first Tuesday of the month, so the Adams County Community Network meets in the basement of the hospital. I don't know who you appointed, but just a reminder that that's tomorrow.
Okay, Charlie.
Okay. I will not be there tomorrow night, so. I didn't know if you were there.
I'll make
an I already sent her an email. Thank you, though.
Thanks, Chief.
Well, six was determined to have repairable bowls. They have been repaired. Basically, the tubes and the tape were in the bottom of the well, got sucked up through the screen into the bowls and clogged them up, basically. They've been repaired. They're on the way back, and we should start putting that back in the hole this week. The good thing is that McCain's is off city water, and their well is now online as of Friday. So that's a substantial amount of water, over 1 million gallons a day, that we're saving, so we're in good shape. However, remember when we finished putting six back in, and we have notified the insurance company, if there was something broken, they will pay for it. If we ask them to pay for the repairs on the bowls, that sounds like broken, we may get money. If they look beyond that, to reasons why we may not. Because they may say it wasn't broken, that this action over here caused this. So we're gonna play that game and see if we can get reimbursement. Then remember, when we finish with six, we got to go back to five, because five is still undetermined as to what happened and what we need to do to fix it, redrill it. We don't know yet.
So how much will insurance cover on well five, if any?
I don't know yet. They only covered, I think they covered 80% last time.
Well,
maybe 60.
If it's deemed that we can't do anything with that, will they pay 80% of a new well?
Again, it's going to depend on why it broke, what happened, and that's yet to be determined. And the insurance person from WCIA will be here Wednesday this week to look at well six, and we should know something from them in a week after that.
Any other unfinished business? Okay, new business.
mean?
Oh, okay.
If we could, we get this water consumption report, and for the next workshop would be fine. A few more details. The numbers that stick out at me are gallons metered. It's RES, I'm assuming it's residential, and COMM, I'm assuming it's commercial, which is, I'm not familiar with, they're using about as much as Simplot is, who uses like close over 2 million gallons a day. Well, that doesn't reflect that. If you could just list the top five commercial users, I have no idea who's using that much water. I just, for fun, would like to know. The other number that struck out at me is that it's labeled more pumped than used, and it's so far year to date, it's 42 million gallons. If we could delve into that number and how that happens, if it's a concern.
We can do that. That's actually an easy answer. But I would invite you to come in, and we'll set a time, and Jay and I will go through that in detail with you. But we'll answer those so the full council gets the answer.
Okay.
But if you could come in sometime, and we'll go through that with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other new business? Okay, I guess I wanted to inform the council on something, because you're also invited to participate in this. I've asked department heads weekly, we're going to go visit 3 businesses in town, and each department has supplied a question, an open-ended question to ask the businesses. And it's being mailed ahead of time, the week ahead of, and then we set up an appointment with them. This Wednesday, we're going at 1:15 to meet with Ann Roberts at the U.S. Bank, and then at 2 o'clock with Ken Story at Ace Hardware, and then 3 o'clock with Lorna Byington at Time Out. We've sent them the questions ahead of time, plus also to address Main Street. It gives them the opportunity to ask us questions, right, you know, in their own business. We want to learn about their businesses, and we want them to learn about the city, and we want to hear their concerns. So those are the things that we're going there with, just to gather information from them and them to, you know, and us to answer their questions. It's really to get to know our businesses and how we as a city government, I guess you'd call it, can better support them and help them be successful in the same way we'll be successful in turn. And so every so often, sometimes it'll be the police chief, sometimes it'll be Jay, you know, might be Mike, it might be Debbie once in a while going, I'm going. You know, just to get a feel for our businesses and how we can help out or whatever we can do. So if you're interested in something like that, this Wednesday we have that going on. You're welcome to join us. Do you have any questions on that?
Are we going to be in trouble if more than 4 show up?
Well, yeah, you can't go more than 3, but the first 3 are more than welcome to join us. So like I said, they've already received the questions. They already know what they are.
Is that a concern?
What?
If a casual thing like this, as long as we don't discuss business, if
no, that actually there's some recent court cases. The laws are loosening up on that. For example, the county commissioners, they can't hardly ever go any place without being a quorum of 2.
Right.
There's only 3 of them. So as long as you're listening, as long as you're there receiving information, it's okay. The rules now are you making a decision for the city? Are you committing the city to anything? So if 4 of you go along and the mayor does all the talking and you hear the responses, that's, as far as I understand now, is not a meeting. But you have to actually participate and make decisions.
Okay. Yeah. So it's given us an idea how we're doing as a city government is why we're going out and gathering information, you know. So Chief has a question, he'll be there. So if they have questions, hey, he'll be able to address those. And stuff like that. And also Main Street, of course, is going to be a big one because we're focusing on Main Street right now. So Jay's going to be there. He'll be able to answer a lot of the questions because we've already heard that from some of the citizens. Or the, like Ken said, you know, what about Main Street? How's this going to work? I mean, you know, so it will help address some of those concerns. And
it starts at 2.
Our first meeting is at 1:15 at the U.S. Bank with Ann Robert. So if you're interested, that's where we'll be.
2 on the paper.
You know, if the council is interested, Mayor, we can start putting those times and businesses in their boxes also.
And the questions.
This is the first time.
Yeah, this is our first time. And we'll put the questions in there. So it's just an open-ended question. And I'm not even sure. What was your question, Chief? Do you remember?
Pretty simply, what can the police department do to make
See, that's an open-ended. And they've got it a week ahead of time. So if something comes across their mind, they can write it next to the question, and you know, it'll be good PR also to realize we want to support them. So as a city. But, so we're gonna try it for 3 months and see how that goes. So any other new business? Okay. I've got mayor's announcements. Scholarship recommendations, Spohr and Garcia. You need to get to Debbie no later than Thursday. I suppose you guys already know that.
You already
did? No. Okay, well, we need to know because something's gone. It's a dinner,
The school has a dinner coming up.
Yes.
I have this on my calendar. I'm going to
okay. Okay, and then, we talked about the business. Our next mayor's luncheon is next Wednesday, the 12th, though, not this coming one. So if anybody's interested, they've been very interesting to go to. We've been trying to bring a business in now to go to the meeting and share with us. We had Simplot. Yes. Is he the manager of Simplot? Okay. We had him at the last one. I don't remember his name now. And he shared a lot of stuff. It was very enlightening. I learned a lot from it. I thought it was really neat. So, and then our next Teamster meeting, union meeting, will be May 20th at 8:30 here at City Hall, which, of course, is Kaler, Deaver, and Darrow. That'll be all day. So get ready, guys. And I made the first one also. I sat in on that. Never been to one.
This is the last one.
Found it to be very interesting. So, other than that, unless somebody has something to say. Nope? Okay. Workshop adjourned.